behind every great beer is an even better story. Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. If you are a craft beer lover and have visited Hobart, Tasmania, chances are you have made your way to a little pub called the Winston. Those who know the place well will tell you that it serves great American-inspired food and a great range of beers to a unique cross-section of the population. The beer range often includes those that are hard to find, as well as a few brewed from down the road. You see, the Winston is actually a brew pub. It's just that the brewery part of the business is not connected to the pub. That doesn't really matter though. The Winston Brewing Company beers that pour through the taps of the Winston are well made and fresh as hell. Chris Miles is the man behind the brews for the Winston, and his wife Caroline is the inspiration for the great food. You see, she's American, and she stole Chris's heart. And in return, he stole inspiration from her home country for his range of hop-forward beers. Chris is a busy man and tends to shy away from the limelight a little bit, so I was pretty excited to get a chance to sit down with him and discuss some exciting plans he has for the future and why the brew pub model was the right decision for him in getting things started. So welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Chris Miles.
Thanks for having me.
Finally, mate. We've tried to do this on a couple of occasions. You've been elusive, to say the least.
It's pretty busy at the brewery, just myself and Caroline and I running the pub as well.
So one-man gang.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, mate, we're sitting here today in the pub, which is an absolute icon. The Winston in the North Hobart restaurant scene. It's a ripper up here, which you and your wife, Caroline, took over in 2013.
Yep.
What made you want to get into the pub game?
I've actually been working in hospitality for a big chunk of my life.
Yeah. Is it all you ever knew?
No, I worked as a chef in kitchens for many years. In my younger years when I was playing in bands. And
what instrument did you play?
I used to sing and play drums different bands.
Cool. Yeah.
But it paid the bills while we were trying to make it in the Brisbane sort of punk, ska, reggae scene.
I love it. I didn't know that about you. And this place, prior to you guys taking it over, had many different names. It was a footy pub at one stage. It was kind of,
I think it was
pretty ordinary.
Commercial. It used to be the
Trout,
where the North Hobart footy club would end up after their games, and it was a bit of a rough and ready pub.
It's a very different thing this day. I always say to people, how do you describe the Winston? I always tell them, it's like a cross-section of Hobart. You've got everything from, you know, mums and dads with their kids on the iPads through to hipsters, old blokes,
tradies,
men's, women's, tradies. Oh, it's just everything in between. It's,
yeah,
it's
I think
a great
everyone
mix.
Feels comfortable here.
It's like a lounge room.
Yeah, but we've had it. It'll be 7 years.
Wow.
Next April.
That's cool.
And we opened on Caroline's birthday, so I'll never forget her birthday.
What a great birthday present!
It was a great start for her. But anyway.
And prior to opening the pub, were you actually a home brewer?
Yeah, I've been home brewing since my 20s. I made some pretty ordinary kit beers, and then kind of progressed.
Haven't we all?
Progressed to the brew in a bag sort of thing, and then got into all grain over the years. But I sort of got really into it. I moved here about 9 years ago via Melbourne. I was working at Beer Deluxe for about 18 months, and then met the guys from Moo Brew, and they said there was a job going, setting up the bars and work managing the winery bar and the void bar in the museum.
Yep.
And I applied for that and did a Skype interview and went to America to meet Caroline's family before I proposed to her, and flew down here 2 days after I got back and started out there. And then we relocated here, and
as I say, the rest is history.
Indeed.
What kind of beers did you make in the homebrew shed once you got your stuff sorted and started to make some good stuff?
To be honest, I've always been a bit of a hop fiend, so the staple pale, which is our biggest selling beer, that was sort of the recipe was
from way back then.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's
okay.
It's tweaked a little bit over time, but I was making all variations of IPAs, and I like beers of all styles, but definitely sort of IPAs, pales.
As we're sipping
stouts,
on
porters.
Yeah. Today we're sipping on the Wee Heavy. How many percent's this, mate?
It's 9%. It was a collab with Hobart Brewing.
It's nice.
Scotty, the head brewer down there. Him and I have been talking about brewing this for a long time, and
You've had a few good collaborations with people around town, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been good. There's a good, you know, the scene down here is really good.
Yeah,
everyone gets along and lends each other equipment and ingredients and some good little festivals and stuff happening, which is good.
As we tend to do in these things, we go off on little tangents, but I'll take you back down memory lane for a second. After you started the pub, how long after you started were you pretty keen to start sharing your home brews on a larger scale with your patrons here?
It was always a bit of a plan, really. It was just a matter of finding the cash and the space. And it's actually been 4 years since we started brewing this month.
Yeah, okay.
And then we launched in January of 2015. So, yeah, we started brewing the beers mid-November.
Yep.
4 years ago, so.
Now, I remember when you first took over this place, because I was working for Lion at the time, and the sales guys came up here and they said, like, that guy's unique. He's got a bit of a different view on how he wants to run this pub. He's got this idea and that idea. I think you had a rebranded Cooper's as one of your initial
beers. Yeah, they let us brand it as Winston Draft, which was a big seller at the time, but the pale, as soon as we put it on tap, well and clearly outsells everything else on tap at the moment.
When you decided to start putting your own beers through the taps, were you sick of seeing other beer companies, you know, profit from what is a great business up here, or was it more about the art, you know, scratching that itch to be able to brew your beer and share that with more people, or maybe it was a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, really. Like, I've just always loved beer, and my mates used to give me grief about it when I'd rock up at parties with random beers. They were all drinking 4X and even, you know, people thought Cooper's Pale and Sparkling was a bit out there 20 years ago, and, you know, it's changed a lot since then. But, it was a bit of both. We just wanted to have fully independent taps and just rotating interesting beers and then, go towards having some taps of our own.
And back then in Hobart, it was kind of like unique, but now it's kind of like the cool thing to do. Everybody's doing it where they can.
For me, to be honest, I think every pub should have good beer on and support the local breweries. And it seems like a lot of pubs are now at least having one or two taps of local small producers, which I think is really exciting.
And for those people that don't know, the actual brewery is about, about a kilometre away from here?
Yeah, maybe two.
When you started thinking about the Winston Brewing Company as opposed to the Winston Pub, what were you thinking? Was it always going to be this brew pub model, or did you maybe consider, you know, cashing in the pub after 4 years and going into a full production large-scale brewery?
Not really. I actually just wanted to stay small. I kind of wish I'd put a little bit bigger system in. I had to get bigger tanks after the first year. I was producing more beer than I thought we would sell. I was being realistic about it, but we're doing about 30,000 litres just through the pub, pretty much. And
looking back on that decision to go with the brew pub model, it was a bit of a smart idea, wasn't it?
There's a big in between being a brew pub model and like a full scale production facility. Yeah. That wasn't really the route I wanted to take. So
Whose advice did you seek when you're planning out the brewery?
I'd kind of met a lot of mainland brewers from when I worked at Beer Deluxe and stuff in Melbourne, and I used to run a bottle shop before that in Brisbane. But when I got here, you know, all the guys out at Moo Brew, Scotty, who's now at Hobart Brewing, was there. Yep. He was a big help starting out because they were in the middle of setting up their brewery, and he had a bit of spare time, so he did the first few brews with me and helped me sort of, you know,
hone your craft,
hone it in a bit. But everyone's been really helpful, you know. Like, you can ring up anyone locally, and you know, if you want to borrow something or seek advice, everyone's pretty friendly and happy to help out, which is great.
Mate, I've tried a few of your great beers. They're rippers. Was it like a duck for water to you stepping up from home to the pro game, or did it take a while?
Yeah, I think it definitely took the first couple of years, like tweaking things like water chemistry and those sort of elements, just refining it to get them, I don't know. You know, I think every brewer's on looking for that holy grail of their recipes. I feel a lot more comfortable now than I did 4 years ago.
That's
especially
probably a good
brewing pale ale, because I spend a lot of my time brewing one beer. But
that's okay. If you're on a good thing, stick to it.
I mean, that's my go-to style, and everyone loves it. So, you know, it is what it is. I still enjoy brewing it.
Yeah, oh, that's good then. Yeah. I guess one of the great things about having this brew pub model is that you can brew a beer, run it through your taps, and immediately you're getting consumer feedback.
Yeah,
does that help speed up the process for getting great beers out?
Yeah, for sure. I love sitting at the bar and chatting to the regulars and finding out what styles they want to do, like, or what they like to drink, and I try and sort of cater for everyone. And
yep,
as well as seasonality, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know, down here, people drink stouts year round. I think there's a misconception that people only drink stouts in the cool.
I don't care. I love to finish my night, whether it's winter or summer, with a stout. It's like, for me, like drinking a coffee after dinner, almost.
Yeah, a little dessert.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a fan of the sort of, you know, chocolate stouts and that sort of which people love.
Which you run through the taps.
Yeah, I'll be brewing one tomorrow again, actually, because people keep asking for
it. It's a ripper. It's a ripper.
It started out as the birthday beer for the bar a few years ago. Yep. Caroline was like, make a chocolate cake beer. And it was so popular that we've kept rebrewing it.
It's all good. So now you've had the pub for about 7 years, the brewery for about four. And the reason I wanted to have a chat to you today is because you're taking the next step. Tell us about the next plans for the Winston Brewing Company.
We're in the middle of council hoop jumping, but yeah, we found a space just a couple hundred metres down the road from the pub, and yeah, we're relocating the brewery, not upscaling the size.
Oh, so you're just taking the existing?
Taking the existing.
More tanks though?
No.
No? No?
It just has a mezzanine. We're going to open it as a tap room.
Oh, nice.
Saturday, Sundays during the day, and do like bar snacks and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And,
so yeah, try not to compete against yourself too much?
No, we just wanted to be closer to the pub. And I think, you know, North Hobart or the inner, you know, there's five breweries now and a few bars in between. So there's a good little trail of
It's becoming
bars and breweries
a great little spot for, like, for those that don't know Hobart too well, you know, probably a 10, maybe 15-minute walk north of what you might call the CBD, maybe not even that. You've got this really great little strip which has got everything from, you know, all different foods from different parts of the world, and as you said, some great breweries, some great pubs. It's kind of the place to be, I suppose.
Yeah, I think everyone years ago, Salamanca sort of was the main place to go, but North Hobart's come into its own now. Yep.
So, tourists, if you land in Salamanca, jump in a cab and come up north, and you will not be disappointed, I promise you.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think more tourists are coming to this area as a destination now too, which is great.
So with the brew pub model, is there scope for you to sort of start, you know, maybe putting a few beers into cans and expanding that way as well?
That's something I'd like to do for sure. Been chatting to some of the local guys, hopefully, about doing a few small runs of packaged beers. People do ask for it.
But, yeah.
At the moment, it's a bit hard keeping up with the keg supply, to be honest.
It's a nice problem to have, in a way.
Oh, yeah. It keeps the beer fresh, for sure.
Well, that's, as they say, fresh is best, don't they?
That's it, indeed.
Yeah. Has it been harder or easier this time doing it sort of all over again? Because even though you're moving the existing kit, you've still got to do all the setup work in the concrete shell, don't you?
It's definitely a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, there's little... I think I'll be able to set it up to be a well-oiled machine.
Yep.
You know, proper floor drains are a good start, and you know, just a few little tweaks on the existing model, but the kit itself, I love it's great.
So what size is the kit, sorry?
It's a 300 litre system, but I have a ton of 3, 6, and 9 hectare tanks.
Yeah.
So I have to do double or triple brews, but I can do a double brew in about 9 hours.
Yeah, okay.
Which is pretty efficient.
So if it ever got to the point where you really want to go to the next level, can you grow within that brew, or have you just got to take it all out and put a whole new one in?
Yeah, not really, I don't think. I'm looking at maybe getting a stainless steel welder to make the mash tun a bit bigger so I can make stronger beers. And Yeah, sort of speed up the processes a little bit more.
What about this idea, and this is a question without notice, what if you had that pale ale and you could go across the road to Shambles and use their a bit bigger kit?
Yeah, that's what I've been looking at. I have in the past. I did a big batch of pale down at Hobart Brewing.
Oh, yeah. All there, yeah, sure.
But, yeah, I think everyone's pretty under the pump at the moment, especially
coming into the summer
leading
period.
Up to the Taste of Tasmania.
Taste, yeah.
Hobart Brewing, Shambles, Moo Brew and
Spotty
Dog have taken the big bar off
The big guys.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting for the local breweries to have such a strong presence at the taste issue.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast. In the words of Transvision Vamp, I don't want your money, honey. I want your love. I'm not going to ask for a Patreon donation because that's not really why I do this. I just want you to help me spread the craft beer gospel. Whichever podcast service you use, if you like my interviews, please like, subscribe, follow, rate, and share my podcast with your friends. It all helps to spread the craft beer message throughout the community, and in turn, hopefully can help those of you out there who make a living working in the industry. That's all. I'll let you get back to the podcast. How does it work around town when you've got these other guys with their beers? Is there a real sense of sharing when you've got a new beer? Do you go to any of those other brewers first once you've got this new beer ready to go before you maybe share it wider just to get that, you know, your peers giving you that valuable feedback?
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, when I have time to go out, I definitely do. But yeah, it's always good to get feedback of people. It's nice to drop into the other breweries and bars and see what's going on around town and trying beers and giving people feedback. Yeah, for sure.
What's your favourite beer from anybody else around town?
That's a tough one. Eh? I think everyone just makes.
Do you Springsteen?
Yeah, maybe.
I love that beer. That's from Shambles, for those that don't know.
And Hobart. Yeah, and Hobart, that was a club for the Hoptoberfest.
That's a ripper.
I mean, there's some good IPAs kicking around. The old Hobart Brewing Colorado is pretty good.
That is a great beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Moo Brew did a red IPA recently, limited release, which I really liked.
I'd like to see Moo Brew do a bit more of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think, well, they've put in a smaller tank, I think, now to do some more experimental small run beers, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you've got this new kit. I in my head was imagining it would be a bit bigger, so it was going to allow you to sort of spread your wings and maybe, you know, be a bit more experimental, try a few new things, but it doesn't sound like that will be the case.
No, I mean, I've brewed 60 something different beers in the last 4 years. So,
that's pretty good for a one man
band. Definitely be pretty experimental still.
Yeah. That's all right.
But, you know, being able to brew 300 litre batches, I'm not too concerned about dumping it, which I've only had to do once or twice, I think.
Oh, that's all right.
I just figure, if I'm not willing to drink it, I'm not willing to put it on tap. So.
But that's a great way to think about it, I think.
It's all about quality. Yeah. You know, it's not about making money for me. I just want to make good beers.
That's a really nice place to be in. You know, I do love that. Look, money is important, but the fact that you want to put quality first, I take my hat off to you. That's a great way to be.
It's a passion, eh? I love doing it, and it's been great.
Same, but different, because this stuff that I do, where I spend a lot of my time doing this, I'm never wanting to get it. I can't make money out of it anyway, but I'm never going to. And purely based on the passion, and I think that's what I love about this craft beer industry. There are a lot of people doing lots of different things where passion is first and foremost. Making a living is very important, but passion is driving it.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool, I reckon.
No, it's exciting. It's a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah. Now, no pressure, but when are you going to put down your first brew in the new relocated old brewery?
Well, we're at the final stages of the council stuff, so, I'm hoping, you know, in the next few months we'll be able to relocate.
Cool. Now, mate, not too many people know that Sam Fuss used that kit to brew the original Filter XPA sort of demo beers on.
She did a few of the trial batches back in the start.
Yeah. You got any other cool stories about secret beers being brewed, or are you maybe going to invite Sam back to the brewery once it's relocated to do a collab perhaps?
Yeah, I'm always up for collabs with people. No, I can't think of any other stories.
I think it's such a cool thing that one of the biggest beers in the land, that's a massive beer now, started off in your 300 litre kit.
Oh, no, I think it is a good pilot system for people.
Is it?
Yeah.
What makes it such a great pilot system?
The efficiencies are really good. It's just easy to brew on. People can, adjust their recipes to brew on that kit. I have to give a shout out to a couple of guys from Stomping Ground because they gave me the connection with the company who manufacture those brew houses. And
what's the brand?
It's from China, Anyu.
Okay.
Yeah.
some people sort of frown on the Chinese kits, but they're okay, are they?
Oh, I think you've just got to shop around. The quality is a lot better now, you know, the machine welded, better quality stainless and pumps and controllers these days.
Yep.
I think you can get stung if you go in, you know, looking for cheaper options, I guess.
Yeah.
But, back to that. I got caught up in the whole fiasco with the...
Oh, you did too,
Core Brewing concept.
Yes.
So,
you were one of the lucky ones, though, weren't you?
I found a container with most of my equipment in there, but...
how do you find a container with a brewing kit?
Another thanks to the guys from Barrier Reef Brewing in Cairns. Alan from that brewery tracked down a couple of containers in China, and one was theirs and one was mine.
And so what do you do in that situation? You found the container, it's in a completely different country. You have to get another courier to bring it out for you?
Yeah, we had to organise it all. Like, I thought I'd lost everything, you know.
That would have been devastating.
$85,000 deposit. Yeah. Other people had nothing, you know, and it's a terrible situation.
I had visions of you sending in the modern-day A-team or a bunch of ninjas to steal it and get it on a boat for you.
We could make a film about that one day. But, it wasn't a great time. But
is that why you got the grey hairs in your red do?
Yeah, it might be a combo of that. And
That would have been just devastating. It would have been the end to all of this, because not only would you have been $85,000 in the hole for that, you had no brewery to then recoup those costs, and you're still trying to run the bloody pub.
Paying rent on an empty space down the road, and it was. But I think there was 12 separate businesses affected by it, which was pretty terrible.
And how many of those 12 actually got kits? Do you know?
I know some didn't get anything at all, but
shit.
I'm pretty sure most of them ended up getting off the ground.
Oh, did they? Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I remember Glenn when he was at Temple. He organised a big brew day. We all got together in Melbourne and they shipped kegs out to everyone to try and recoup a bit of money, so it was a good bit of camaraderie between everyone.
Yeah, rightio. God, buyer beware, hey?
Yeah, that's it.
So what are the plans for the future? You're going to get this new brewery up and running? I can see here sitting in the Winston where there's a great new games room with some old classic arcade games and pinnies in there.
Yeah, we just opened a few weeks ago.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, looking forward to getting the tap room up and running and, relocating the brewery and keep brewing beer.
Yeah. Now, look, there's going to be quite a few people listening to this podcast who are maybe thinking about following your footsteps, because it does seem that the hyperlocal brew pub is kind of the model that's more sustainable in the current market. Like, you get trapped between being a brew pub and then being a larger brewery, maybe someone like the size of Bolter. In between there, there's this great void where you can get lost in the mix. So maybe the brew pub's the way to go. So for those people thinking about doing that, have you got any advice for them, any words of wisdom from the big fella?
I just think you've got to have a really good plan, you know, good business plan. You know, think about your market, clientele, where you're going to set it up. There's so many variables, I guess, but...
You can't just afford to say, I'm going to start a brewery and say, fuck it, and rush in.
Yeah. I mean, we've been pretty lucky. The pub's been really busy and it's a local pub. And we kind of had an audience already, you know, people pretty excited to support the brewery. But, it's a lot of hard work. But
what if people wanted to dip their toe in the water? We were talking about this earlier when I was in Orlando last week. I was at the Half Barrel Brewing Project, which pretty much had... I don't know, I'm going to say not even a 300-litre system just in the corner, maybe a 100-litre system in the corner to brew, you know, I don't know, it might have even been 2 or 3 keg system. I forget what he was saying, but it was small. It fitted in the corner of the pub. So he was a brew pub, but like a micro brew pub. What do you think of that idea? Do you think that's going to work in Australia?
Well, I think it could, like in existing pubs. I think people just love the connection with where it comes from and who brews it. And I think that cycle's come back around with food and wine and spirits and everything. People just love having that connection with...
Hyperlocal seems to be the thing.
Yeah, I think it's a worldwide thing.
And when you got the ingredients and stuff at your fingertips in Tasmania,
it's
pretty awesome.
Most definitely. It's pretty exciting having the hop fields like 45 minutes down the road and good water. And
it's not only exciting for us, it's exciting for other brewers around the world, because I've been in here when the boys from Oscar Blues have turned up.
Yeah, Cigar City.
Oh, I was drinking Cigar City beers miles away. Because yeah, they're Tampa Bay.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, great beers.
It's pretty daunting when you've got, you know, Bear Republic.
Greg Cook was in here one day.
Yeah, pretty scary having brewers of that calibre drinking your beers. But, you know.
They all seem pretty happy when they've left it off.
Oh, I know. It's been great. But, you know, it's like, yeah, a bit overwhelming at times. But it's very exciting too.
He's blushing, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's quite surreal when, you know.
Yeah, some of your heroes.
People you look up to are enjoying your beers at the bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the other side of the world. Yeah. So.
Well, mate. Sorry it's taken so long for us to get together to share these one of your beers and have a chat, but I'm glad we finally have because it's a great story, great pub, great setup and everything. I love what you're doing here, mate. So
thank you.
Looking forward to seeing what comes out of the new old brewery
for sure
in the new year. So best of luck, mate.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another Beer Healer interview. I really hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you want to follow along with more Beer Healer content, you can check out my Facebook, YouTube and Instagram pages. Just search Beer Healer or you can visit beerhealer.com. If you like the podcast, can you please help me spread the word by subscribing and rating it and sharing it with your beer-loving friends?